Luke chapter 9, verses 18 through 27. This is the reading of God's word. And it happened that while he was praying alone, the disciples were with him, and he questioned them, saying, "Who do the people say that I am?" They answered and said, "John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, but others that one of the prophets of old has risen again." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered and said, "The Christ of God." But he warned them and instructed them not to tell this to anyone, saying, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised up on the third day." And he was saying to them all, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. For what is man profited if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and the holy angels. But I say to you truthfully, there are some of those standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God." Amen. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Let us hear your word. Grant us that ear that could hear your word so that we will actually be more and more like Jesus Christ and our faith will grow. Oh Father, through your word, let us see what our Lord has done and what he has accomplished for us. And through your word, let us have this wonderful fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless us that your word will be preached correctly, and all of us not only hear, but believe and obey your word. Receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, let me remind you, we're at the end of a really big section today. Well, as you know, the book of Luke, it began with the introduction. And all the way to the end of chapter 2 is about the birth of Jesus Christ. And from chapter 3, verse 1 through 4, verse 15, it was all about Jesus' preparation for his public ministry. And from chapter 4, verse 16 to 9:50, that was about his Galilean ministry. And from chapter 9:51 to chapter 19, verse 27, it's about his ministry on his way to Jerusalem. And from there, we read about his ministry and his death in Jerusalem. And in chapter 24, we read about his resurrection and ascension. So today's passage 4 at the end of the Galilean ministry. But no matter what section in the book of Luke, what we see is our Lord Jesus Christ accomplishing the kingdom of God. And through his work and his teaching, he witnesses the reality of that kingdom. And what we are learning from the book of Luke is also about who Jesus Christ is. We already have seen many passages that deal with this. Chapter 7, verse 49, those who were reclining at the table with him began to say to themselves, "Who is this man who even forgives sins?" Chapter 8, verse 25, and he said to them, "Where is your faith?" They were fearful and amazed and saying to one another, "Who then is this that he commands even the winds and the water and they obey him?" Chapter 9, verse 9, Herod said, "I myself had John beheaded, but who is this man about whom I hear such things And he kept trying to see him. Who is Jesus Christ? We must be asked the same question. And God gives us the answer in our passage through Peter. Chapter 9, verse 20, Peter answered and said, "The Christ of God." And in chapter 9, verse 35, God himself gives us the answer directly. "This is my Son, my chosen one." So at the end of Galilean ministry, God gives us the answer to that question, who is Jesus Christ? The Christ of God and the Son of God. And from this point on, God teaches us what kind of ministry that Christ must do as the Christ of God. To put it short, Jesus is the Christ of God who suffers and he dies for his people. And his followers are invited to live the same life. Our passage today in chapter 9, verse 20, we see the answer of Peter. And in verses 21 and 22, we see Jesus telling them that he must suffer many things and be rejected and be killed, but be raised up on the third day. And in verses 23 to 27, we're going to cover those verses, we see that the life of the followers of Jesus Christ will be also a life of suffering. Your life, Bible says, is a life of suffering. It is a way of the cross. It is a way to death. But to follow Jesus means to follow him all the way to his resurrection. So let us begin, verse 18 and 19. "And it happened that while he was praying alone, the disciples were with him and questioned them, saying, 'Who do the people say that I am?' They answered and said, 'John the Baptist, the others say Elijah, but others that the one of the prophets of old has risen again.'" This question Jesus asked, "Who do the people say that I am?" You know, this world, it gives many different answers to this question. You know, some people will say Jesus was a good teacher. He gave us good examples, but he's not God. Well, I could go on and on and on. The world gives so many different answers to this question, and it is a very important question. Luke chapter 9, verse 28 says, "And he said to them, 'But who do you say that I am?'" And I ask the same question to you. Who do you say that Jesus Christ is? And it's not just you saying it, but you believe it. Peter answered and said, "The Christ of God." And it is a very, very good answer on the surface. But still, Peter does not understand what Jesus has come to do as the Christ of God. He does not understand what kind of kingdom that Jesus Christ came to accomplish. Luke chapter 9, verse 21, "But God, Jesus, warned them and instructed them not to tell this to anyone." Why? Because they still don't know what Jesus came to do and what kind of kingdom that he came to accomplish. At the time, as you know, the Jews were waiting for the worldly Messiah who would come to establish a worldly kingdom. Thus, to them, it was a foolish thing to say that the Messiah would suffer in this world. No, the Messiah that they were waiting for, he will come and conquer the world, and he will rule the world. What do you mean he comes and suffers? See, with that understanding, if the disciples would proclaim Jesus as the Messiah, then they will proclaim that Jesus would give the people worldly success. That's how they understood at this moment. But it was after the cross they began to understand the truth. So God says, don't tell anyone. Not yet. And Jesus continues to teach the disciples so that they will understand who Jesus Christ really is and what did he come here to do. Luke chapter 9 verse 22 saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and to be rejected by the elder and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised up on the third day. He speaks of four things. First, the Son of Man must suffer many things. Second, he has to be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes. And third, he be killed. But fourth, be raised up on the third day. When Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 16, verse 22, we have same event in Matthew also. Peter says, Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord. This shall never happen to you. Because Peter's understanding at the time, Messiah came to establish the earthly kingdom, and he's talking about suffering and being killed. It just, he doesn't understand. So he says, he actually rebukes him. God forbid it, Lord. This shall never happen to you. Peter rebukes Jesus because his understanding of who Messiah is and what he came to do is not the same as what Jesus is saying to him. But Jesus is the Messiah. So Peter wants to correct him. Oh, Messiah, you got it all wrong. But there in Matthew chapter 16, verse 23, as soon as Peter said that, Jesus says, but he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on God's interests, but man's. We see what kind of Messiah that Peter was waiting for. Like we said, worldly Messiah who will come and destroy the Roman Empire at the time and establish worldly kingdom on earth so that the Jews will rule the world. Peter rebukes Jesus. What are you talking about, Jesus? What is this talk about sufferings and death? God forbid it. This shall never happen to you. See, the Peter things like the world. And this is the mind of Satan. That's why God says, get behind me, Satan. The worldly Messiah, the political Messiah, the economical Messiah, the military Messiah. This is what the world wants. Peter and the disciples at the time do not understand. Luke chapter 18 verse 32, for he will be handed over to the Gentiles and will be mocked and mistreated and spit upon. And after they have scourged him, they will kill him. And the third day he will rise again. But the disciples understood none of these things, and the meaning of this statement was hidden from them, and they did not comprehend the things that were said. In John chapter 6, after Jesus fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they misunderstood him to be the Messiah who would give them ultimate worldly food. John chapter 6, verse 15, so Jesus, perceiving that they were intending to come and take him by the force to make him king, withdrew again to the mountain by himself alone. Jesus flees them, from them. I mean, why? These people wanted Jesus to be their king. And yet he runs. Why? Because these people thought that Jesus is worldly Messiah. Oh, if he be our Messiah, man, we don't have to worry. He will always give us this worldly food and we're going to rule the world. So he runs. Now, how about you? When you hear that Jesus is the Messiah and the Son of God, what do you expect Him to do for you? What is your expectation that now you have become Christian? What do you really believe that God has promised you that He will do because you're Christian? Man, so many people, they say all these things that God, they believe God will do for them. And I say, where did He say that? And they don't know where He said that. Because He never said that. God never promised us this world. God promised us heaven. Where did these people get this idea that God will make you rich and God will make you healthy when you are Christian? I mean, think about it. Look out there. Look at those non-Christians. They're richer than Christians. And they're more healthy. See, if we want to be rich and healthy, you don't have to be Christian. Just look at what is happening around the world. God never promised us this world. Show me from the Bible if He did. Oh, you will point to Old Testament, but you know what Old Testament is all about. It is so amazing how people just think, like, where do they get that? Is it in the Bible? Do you expect Jesus to make you healthy and rich in this world? Is that what your expectation is? Because now you are Christian? Or because of your sins that this Messiah suffered many things and not only rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes, but on the cross He was rejected by His own Father. He came to die for us, not just the physical death, but also the eternal death. And what is your understanding when you hear that you have become His people? What do you expect your life to be now that you are saved? Peter, who confessed that Jesus is the Messiah, but he wanted to lead Jesus. Yes, Jesus, you say these things, but I know better than you. It is better for you to do what I say. No suffering. No death. Peter confessed Jesus to be the Messiah, and yet Peter wants to teach Jesus. And we must ask ourselves whether we are doing the same thing. Maybe the content of your prayer are not about obeying the will of God, but suggesting to God or even teaching God what would be the best action for God to do. You kind of suggest to Him that's what He should do for you. We must think about this. You and I, we must know Jesus Christ exactly according to the Bible. The Jesus of the Bible, that's the true Jesus. Jesus whom the world thinks who He is, that really doesn't matter. That's what they think. Okay. But what does the Bible say? The end of the verse 22, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised up on the third day. The Son of Man must, it says. He doesn't say, maybe He will do these things. No, Son of Man must. Luke chapter 17 verse 25, but first He must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. He came for that purpose. Now he teaches what it means to be his disciples, what it means to follow Jesus Christ. And this is important to us because we all confess we follow Jesus Christ. And Jesus tells us what it means. But if you have a wrong idea what following Jesus is, when Jesus told us one thing, but you think that following Jesus is completely other thing, then what? Jesus teaches us how our lives are to be. He says, Luke chapter 9, verse 23 through 26, he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, if anyone wishes to follow me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. For what is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses and forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. At least five things here. First, we must deny ourselves. Second, we must take up our crosses daily. Third, we must follow Jesus Christ. Fourth, we must be willing to lose our lives for Him. Fifth, we must not be ashamed of Jesus Christ and His words. To simply put, if you put all those five things together, it says we must live the very life of Jesus Christ. He told us about His life, what He has to do. He said He must suffer. He must be rejected and die. Those five things are pretty much the same thing that was spoken about the life of Jesus Christ. Jesus truly denied Himself. That's why He died for us. He suffered. He was denying Himself. As God, He could say, I don't want any of this. And yet, that's not what He did. And He's the one who truly take up His cross. Right? And He followed the will of the Father. And He died for us. And He taught us His words. If you don't mind, or you go and turn the knob. So God is inviting us to the very life of Christ. Let's look at this. We don't have time to look at in detail each point, but let's look at this. Denying ourselves. What does this mean? Denying our rights. You know, America is all about my rights. That's not what Christians do. Christians, we follow Jesus. Jesus never seek His rights. Oh, if He was to seek His rights as God, why would He suffer and die? But this country is all about rights, seeking rights. And then people equate America equals Christianity. That is just, it's not true. I have a better word, but I can't say that. So denying our rights and our privileges, our benefits, our achievements, our care, our interests. We must deny all these things for Christ Jesus. If it is to bring glory and honor to Him, then we must deny all these things. This is why the world will never listen to this kind of stuff. Non-Christians, why would they do this? I mean, think about it. Why would non-Christian do this? But if you're a Christian, somehow, something has happened to you that you will gladly do this for Christ. To borrow the word of Apostle Paul, Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, he says, I count all things to be loss in the view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish so that I may gain Christ. That's exactly what we're talking about, denying ourselves. We count everything as rubbish, meaning dung, to gain Jesus Christ. But this is the life of Jesus Christ, because He counted all things, even His life as rubbish, even His life as dung, to gain us. So again, don't think that God is unreasonable telling you to live this kind of life, because He Himself has lived that kind of life for you. You know, I don't know how we say it in English, but there's what is called one-sided love. One-sided love. Two people, but only one loves the other doesn't love. You know, that's a miserable life. And don't do that with God, that there's just one-sided love. God loves you, but you don't love Him. And you think that that's somehow Christian relationship. He was willing to lose all things, even His life, to gain us. And all God is saying to you is, just love me back. Love me with the same love I love you with. And I don't think that's unreasonable. You know, when they hear like God's desire, God's command, they go, oh, that's too much. Yes, too much. That's how much He loves you. And He wants you to love Him back. Luke chapter 14 verse 26 says this, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brother and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. No, God is not telling you hate your mom, hate your father, no. But He's saying you cannot love your mom or dad or anybody else more than God. We follow Jesus, counting all else secondary. Jesus is our primary. And I don't know why I even feel like some pastors, they're embarrassed to say these things. That's one of the points, right? If you're ashamed of me, then He will be ashamed of you. No. It didn't come out right. If you're ashamed of Him and His word, then He will be ashamed of you. Number two, we must take up our cross daily. Cross. What does that speak? I don't want to point to this because, the cross. When you think of cross, what does it speak to you? Well, it speaks so many things, but in the context of what we're talking about, it speaks suffering and death. God gave us the glory of taking up our crosses daily. You know, Jesus speaks of the time of His taking of His cross. John chapter 12, verse 23, Jesus answered them saying, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. The world will never understand this. He's going to die on the cross. But he says, oh, the hour for me to receive glory has come. We are to take up our crosses daily. What kind of life do you think that is? If you have to take up your cross, daily. I don't know why Christians think that once you become Christian, God's going to just make you rich and successful and just no problem in your life. Where did this come from? It comes from lies. Those false teachers teach. Bible never says that. Actually, what God promises His people? Suffering. That's what He promises. But He never promises the world and success in this world. I mean, look at Jesus Christ. He dies on the cross. Do you think He's successful? As the world understands what success is, do you think Jesus is success? And yet, yes, according to God, it is success. But the world will never think like that. And we are following Him. You know, this opportunity of receiving glory is given to us daily as we take up daily the cross. And I pray that you will consider that glory rather than something you just don't want to do. Because Jesus understood His cross as glory. And number three, we must follow Jesus. It is to participate in His life. It is the life of suffering. Romans chapter 8, verse 17 and 18, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, so that we may also be glorified with Him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. We continue. Chapter 9, verse 24 and 25, for whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. For what is man profited if he gains the whole world and loses and forfeits himself? It means even if you could own the whole world, what profit do you have when you need to go to hell when you die? Understand, that is not profit at all. The three things that we saw, denying ourselves and taking up our cross and following Jesus Christ, not doing these things is to save one's life, is to gain the whole world. But he will lose his life and everything with it. That's no profit at all. To gain the eternal life is to lose our lives for Jesus Christ. And Paul says it this way, I die every day. He says, I die daily. In Luke chapter 4, when Satan tempted Jesus, saying that he will give the whole world, but Jesus says, no thanks. I will continually worship the Father only and serve the Father only. And this is our life in Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful life. But we do not have the confidence to live this life, do we? If I just tell you, hey, now you heard it, go out and live. And you go, what? Okay, thank you. As if now you're able? No. If we really think about it, we just don't have any confidence to live this life. Luke chapter 22, verse 33, but he, Peter, said to him, Lord, with you, I'm ready to go both to prison and to death. See how confident he says to the Lord. I'll die with you. I'll go prison with you. But you know what happened to Peter. Oh, yeah, he could say those words, but Peter, like us, he is only good with his lips. So, Jesus says, Luke 22, verse 34, he said, I say to Peter, the rooster will not crow today until you have denied three times that you know me. Oh, at the third time, he even cursed and said, I don't know Jesus Christ. But what about all that confidence when he said, I will die with you, I go prison with you. But that's how we are. Oh yeah, we could say, you know, we love you, we love you, we'll do anything for you, but when that time comes, we'll chicken out. But remember what Jesus said in verse 32 there. Jesus says, but I have prayed for you, and your faith may not fail. And you, when once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Jesus is praying for us. And we saw this last week, right? And his prayer will always come true. He's praying that your faith will not fail. That's the only way we could be faithful to God. That God makes us faithful. That's why I don't say go out and live it, because you can't. What's the point of me telling you to go and live it when you don't know how and you can't even do that? But I'm telling you that God is praying for you. He is working in you. Believe it. Luke chapter 9, verse 27, for whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory. See, suffering and rejection and death. But Jesus also speaks one more thing, that is resurrection. We who follow also participate in his resurrection. Oh, brothers and sisters, our boast is in Jesus Christ and his word, and we are not ashamed of them. If we proclaim that the life that our passage is speaking of, then the world will laugh at us. It will sneer at us. Even some churches will do the same. The life that our passage is speaking of, the suffering. And let me ask you, is it beautiful life to you? Is it a beautiful life to you? We truly have nothing to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we know what kind of life we must live as the followers of Christ. Jesus is coming back. And we look forward to the day when we will be with our God in heaven and live that joyous life with him. And we are confident that on that day, Jesus will not be ashamed of us. The new heaven and new earth will be given to us, and that this world will pass away. On that day, we will see Jesus Christ face to face, and we will sin no more, and we will see Jesus Christ. And we will love our Lord with perfect love. And on that day, Jesus will not be ashamed of us. Not because we are good people, but because of what he has done for us. You know, knowing that is truly enough for us. Enough for me. You know, think about it. When you're about to die because there's a big truck coming at you, and somebody comes to you and he pushes you away and he dies instead. And you are so grateful that he died in your place. Would you go to his house and tell the family to do more for you, give more for me? Would you do that? After he dies in your place, would you go to his family and say, give me more, do more? Would you do that? I don't think so. Jesus died for you. Why you ask him to do more and more and more? What is all that? Are you not thankful enough for what he has done for you already? You will not do that to that person. And yet, why do we do that to God? I mean, I'm not saying you don't ask things to God, but think about what you're asking. Jesus Christ, he gave us all, even his life. He gave himself and his eternal kingdom as our eternal inheritance. We are so grateful and thankful, and our lives of sufferings and rejection and dying daily when lived by faith will bring glory and honor to our God. And again, we are so truly thankful. Our lives are so valuable in Jesus Christ. Even Jesus endured the shame of the cross, looking forward to the joy that he will have with us in heaven. We do the same. The reality of Jesus not being ashamed of us on that glorious day. We endure our sufferings looking forward to that day when we will be in his bosom, seeing him face to face, loving him and being loved by him. This is why it is okay for us, even when we suffer, even when we are rejected, even when we lose, even when we are persecuted, even when we are ignored, even when we are insulted, even when we are humiliated, even when we are abused, and even when we are killed, it is okay. Yes, there is a day when our Lord was crucified, but remember, there was also another day when he was resurrected. Yes, there will be a time when we will suffer, but remember that there will be a day when we will see our Lord Jesus Christ face to face. He will welcome you. He will welcome me into his kingdom. Revelation 21 verse 3, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death, there will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. Because of this, no matter what happens to us in this world, brothers and sisters, it is okay. Don't be afraid. You belong to God. And it's not saying you're not going to suffer. It's not even saying you will be always protected physically. But God loves you. And the worst thing that could happen to us here is that we die. But even then, we go to heaven. We go to him. It is our honor to participate in his sufferings. Understand when Paul, he welcomes suffering. Because he wants to imitate Christ so much that he welcomes the suffering. How much do you love Christ? Who is he? You know, when somebody dies for other people, let's say a husband dies for wife, and you hear that, and you go, okay, I get it. Husband dies for wife. Of course, he loved her so much. If I see you, how you live, is it going to be so clear that you love Christ? Or that you love this world way more than Christ? It's so clear what kind of life we must live. All is well, even when we suffer. You know, somehow I finished earlier than other sermons, even though it was 3 more pages longer than other sermons. And I don't give personal testimony, but, you know, I named my son Paul and my daughter Pauline because I love Paul because he imitates Christ. And Paul was a great teacher. And I don't think there's that many things that he did wrong. And yet, when his life was come to an end, he find himself in a prison. Oh, not exactly success. He finds himself in prison. And he says, he writes a letter to Timothy, saying that everybody left me. So you could see in a worldly perspective how lonely he is in the prison. He's saying, everybody left me. And yet when you read his letter, the same letter that Paul writing to Timothy, he's so happy. You know, like Philippians, rejoice, rejoice. He says so many times, that was written in a prison. And why he's so happy? Because God allows him, even at the end of his life, God allows him to imitate Christ, because when Jesus was dying on the cross, everybody left him, it says in the Bible. Jesus died alone, even though there were a few women and, you know, like, we believe John was right there, but generally speaking, everybody left him. So, when Paul finds himself in the same situation, that everybody left him, he was actually happy. Because even as he dies, he was able to imitate Christ, to participate in the life of Christ. And long time ago, I thought about my life. You know, I wanted to be a good teacher, because I wanted to preach the gospel. But I was worried that I would be successful. What if, at the time of me dying, it's pretty close now, that I will have so many disciples, so many famous pastors, I taught them. And they all come to me and just praise me. That's not life of Christ. What if I was so successful like that? And I said to myself, that would be tragic. If God really loves me, He will allow me to imitate Christ. That nobody knows about you. Nobody cares. But that will bring so much joy. And I hope you understand what I'm saying to you. Because I don't expect the world to understand me. But I would expect Christians to understand. Because our value is Jesus Christ. It's not because you have so many degrees, so much money, so much this and that. No. It's only because of Christ you are valuable to God. And Jesus Christ is the only thing, and He is everything. And suffering for Him, that is true honor. And dying for Him? Oh, that's the best. But don't worry. He's not going to let you die. He doesn't give that kind of glory, that kind of blessing to everybody. Even within Christians, He doesn't do that. He seldomly does that. Dying for Christ. If you could actually do that, it would be our honor. This is what Christianity is all about. World will never understand. But somehow, Christianity has changed. We don't talk about martyrs anymore. Do you ever hear martyrs anymore? The people who died for Christ. Do you even hear about them? Nobody who goes to church these days, they don't even have that kind of idea or principle in their head. But Father, I pray that God will bless us. That few of us will love God just like that. And I'm not saying this to you because I'm a good Christian or I do better than you. No. Truly, I'm not. But that's what the Bible says our lives must be. And I'm proclaiming that truth to you. And asking God to bless you so that you will accept that. That those words will be written in your heart. Let's live for Him. Truly denying ourselves and taking up our crosses daily and follow Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You have given us this glorious life. Oh Father, this is something that the world wants to avoid and ridicule, but Father, it is glorious to us. Not because of any value that anybody can put on it, but only because it is the life of Christ. That is why it is valuable to us. Let's live that life for You, for Your glory. Bless us. Bless Your church. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.